Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts in the land. Where are you, Paul?
I am in Los Angeles, California, Tom. Where are you?
I'm in Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon.
On the craziest, we're at the peak, the height of the insanity for the book stand-up tour.
Oh, really?
We're at the apex.
Because it was on the way.
Yeah, man.
From New York to to Phoenix.
I was in LA on Monday. I was in New York on the red eye yesterday. Got there yesterday. Did Colbert yesterday. Flew here today. Do the book event here, then I go to LA for Conan tomorrow, then tomorrow night straight to Phoenix.
Nice.
And yeah, so we are at the apex. Doesn't get any crazier than this. Crossing the country, zipping and zagging. But it's all been good. The book sales are going well. People are loving the book, which is a good thing. And we are, I think like 100, like number 120 of all books on Amazon.
That's
we're number
awesome.
One in family humor. We're number like 5 in essay and humor, which are all cool. But now we're like actually getting close. If our listeners, I mean, we have a lot of listeners. If our listeners all bought the book on Amazon tonight, we would be in the top 100. And that is like a huge achievement. So I'm not begging. Our fans do a lot, but come on, we can push this over the top.
If you don't buy it, at least put a nice review in there.
Yeah, at least pretend. I think you have to buy it to review it.
Oh, okay.
Or there's, I think they indicate something like that. Anyway, it's going pretty great. Colbert was a blast last night.
Yeah, that looked fun.
That was so much fun. Yeah, that was really good. Making him laugh was very funny.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, that was the one that I was worried about, as you flying all night and being up for that. But you looked good.
Yeah, no,
you didn't look tired or anything.
Yeah, I felt pretty good. No, I felt I was pretty good. Meditating as much as I can along the way. And now I'm in Portland and my voice is a little tired. I think after this podcast, I'm going to crash for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then then go do this event tonight, which should be fun. Shouldn't be too... I think you just got to keep hydrating, Paul. It's the most important thing. You just got to hydrate, like any time in life.
Well, it's like whatever. Like when you're... If they can figure out a way that when you're on a plane, you don't feel more tired just from sitting in the same place. I don't know why. I don't know why.
I think it's the pressure. I think it's the air pressure on your body. I think you you get dehydrated up there. You definitely, I think all of that stuff. And also, especially when you're tight next to other people, you're constantly like pulling your body in. There's a little tension from the other people around you. And there's tension that you might die in a giant fireball. All of those things kind of play on you. So then if you change time zones, forget about it. Now you're really toast.
Yeah. It's well, you and I are two different things because you're traveling that way, and I had a show in Monterey, so I just drove up and drove back like the same night. So that was like 9 hours of driving.
That's exhausting
in one day.
Oh boy. Ah, geez.
And then I had to get my two root canals the next day. So that was kind of
how'd they go?
Not too bad. Yeah, I ended up feeling okay last night because they were pretty much like, yeah, you're going to be really sore. And then I was like, I don't feel sore, but it's just you have these temporary teeth, so you got to worry about that for like the next week. Like they're in the back and stuff, so...
They should be pretty solid.
Yeah, but they're just like, yeah, don't... Because, you know, like you pay a ton of money for those real crowns, so you know the temporary ones they're giving you are like out of the Walmart prank section of the the fake teeth.
Oh yeah, and you know they've probably been in like 20 other people's mouths.
No, it reminds me of those wax. Remember those wax things that you had when you were a kid? The wax teeth for no reason.
Like the wax, yeah, with the lips.
That's what I picture them being made out of. So, like...
Yeah. A little gummy. And what's really funny is that you really don't even need that. Like, because they killed your nerve. Your nerve is done.
Right.
You're not going to feel pain back there anyway. So, just a matter of getting stuff stuck in the hole, I guess.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it was funny. I got, you know, this specialist guy I went to... You know, went to NYU and USC, so he's like a guy that just does root canals all day, which imagine what kind of person would want to do that, but
right.
but that ended up saving me like $1,000 going to this guy instead of the place that I initially went to. So that was a little infuriating. Great. And the only reason I went to him is because I'm going to Iraq on that USO tour at the end of the month, and I had to have everything done before I left. So that kind of
saved me. In case you get taken hostage?
What's that?
In case you get taken hostage?
Well, the last thing you need is, like, some temporary tooth and to not have a root canal done. Because there is nothing worse than tooth pain. I don't know if you've ever had... People say back pain, but I think tooth pain is the worst kind of pain because it catches you off guard.
One time I had a dentist friend of mine. He was like kind of a dentist, kind of a real estate agent, kind of a guy that just hung out, and he wasn't really that into it all. And I was supposed to have work done on this tooth because I had pain. So he numbs me all up, and he goes to work on the tooth, and the Novocaine wears off, and it's kind of bad. The next morning, it's so bad that I can't even, like, lift my head up. I'm like,
oh my God.
I was in a cafe, and I was trying to write, and I was just, like, holding on to the table as this throbbing pain was shooting through my skull. He had worked on the wrong tooth.
Oh my gosh.
He had worked on the tooth next to the tooth that was a problem. So now the problem tooth is now more aggravated. And just like you said, it was the worst pain. it's inconceivable. You don't even think of it as pain. You're just like in this another dimension.
Yeah, it's like, well, what they say, nerve, you know what I mean? Because, well, that's the worst thing about getting... It's even worse than getting a root canal is if you don't need one. They do this thing called a pulp test, which basically they shock your tooth. And so if your nerve is still alive, you are going to jump out of the chair. That's how bad the pain is. So,
oh, God.
It's, I almost was like, yeah, just do them all. I don't ever want to have my teeth hurt ever again. That's,
yeah, it is literally the worst.
but my teeth actually look. Because I don't know about you, when I was growing up as a kid, they were still using all those big metal fillings. So, like, my mouth just looked like I had a bunch of, like, metal, especially the bottom. So now they're all kind of like the white crowns now. So it actually looks a lot better. But
yeah, I like how they go in and they say that you've got to take out all your old fillings because having all that metal in your mouth is actually bad for you.
Yeah.
Well, I got to do it all double? What?
Yeah, and I'm sure drilling metal out of your teeth is good for it, too.
God, it's the worst. So I don't understand. I know we've talked about it before, but I really don't understand why it hasn't. They haven't improved on dentistry.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
everything else is getting.
I don't know why they have the highest suicide rate, and I was like, no, I totally get it because everyone that comes in there is mad at them for some reason.
Yeah, no one wants to go. No, it's just so brutal. It's just, you know, it all still looks like medieval torture. They've got all those tools that look like you're going to, like, just abuse somebody. And it's like, how are we able to do all these other advancements in medicine? And then dentistry is still like, no, we're just going to drill a hole through this porcelain. Yeah. Tooth. Oh, it's so brutal.
And the whole...
How long did it take?
That was the good thing, is like a guy that just specializes in root canals now can do it in like a half hour. So it's pretty good.
But that's good.
But it's still, the whole point of it is they just have all these tools to drill out the nerve out of your head. You know what I mean? So it's just like the...
I know.
Like a big screwdriver and like a big hammer that basically you're just trying to like kill this living
pliers.
Thing.
Ugh, so brutal.
So, yeah.
Well, it's good you got through it.
Well, that's the whole thing, is like sometimes you just got to suck it up and just get all the stuff done. So I got like that deep cleaning and exam and all that kind of stuff done. So it was like two weeks worth of stuff. But, you know, especially with us traveling all the time, like I had a tooth break on the road in December, and it was just like a nightmare to have to do it. So I just want to keep up on it. So
no, that's good.
That's what Sarah Silverman says, that death comes in through the gums. So you have to take care of your teeth.
Death comes in through the gums. That's kind of morbid.
Yeah, well, it's kind of true, though.
Oh, we had a big...
People don't take care of their teeth. They're always kind of unhealthy, you know?
Yeah. And people who let their nails grow are kind of creepy.
Yeah.
I had to take the red eye from New York... from L.A. to New York. And... I paid for an expensive seat, and I just need to try and sleep because I got Colbert that night. And I settle in. I'm like, all right, this will be good. I'll be able to sleep for sure. Woman next to me comes on with a box of pizza. A whole box, like three slices. She starts eating one. It just reeks of pizza. Which is not a bad smell, but it's a powerful smell, and you can't sleep when you're smelling pizza. And then she finishes some of it, then folds the rest up and just like sticks it where the magazines go.
Ugh. And she's in the first class where they give you free stuff anyway, right?
Yes. I don't know what she was doing. I was like, really? Why me? Why are these people always attracted to me? Why am I always next to... These people who, it's like, it's almost like they're like, all right, Tom's coming. Let's get, who should we go with? The guy with no shoes? You want to go with the guy with the guy whose male breasts are hanging out the side of his shirt, or the smelly food lady? Every time. I just don't get it.
Yeah, there was a, I almost came up with a joke with that, because that must be a new thing, because I was on, I think it was a Southwest flight. And the guy had, like, in the storage above, there was a pizza box and a lampshade. And and I was like, what is this, a bachelor party from the 80s? Like, that used to be the wild. Remember that was, like, the term for, like, a wild guy if he was, like, drunk with a lampshade on his head?
Yeah, right. Put the lampshade on his head and danced around. Probably was a killer joke at first. The first guy to put the lampshade on his head was hilarious.
Where did that come from? Or was that just a go-to move by adults that drank a lot?
Yeah, there was a back in a time when lampshades were popular. You know, a lot of, they didn't know how to make stuff back then. They just had a lampshade on it. And some funny guy did it, and then it caught on. I get it. That would have been funny if you were the first dude doing it. Hilarious. So then I went on Joe Rogan on Monday.
Oh, yeah. I actually listened to that and, on the drive back. I think I listened to...
Oh, yeah?
I listened to the Marin thing, and then I think the beginning of the Rogan one. But that's that's an effort, man. What did you do, 3 hours on that? The Rogan?
3 hour show on Rogan. Yeah, 3 hours. It's a long podcast. But it was good because we announced officially the new Food Network show.
Yeah, cool.
Which our fans, of course, knew about it already. But yes, we were able to announce officially the first time in any other media that on Labor Day, the Food Network is going to be airing the first episode of Baked.
Nice.
Which is my new show on all things baked. That top secret project will no longer be called the top secret project. It is now called Baked. My new show where I travel the country. I've shot 8 of them. We've been in Detroit, Cleveland, New York, New Jersey, L.A., New Jersey, New York, where else did I say? 8 of them.
New Orleans.
And we go meet these amazing bakers, and they show me how they make their stuff, and we get to eat and discover all this amazing food. And as long as it's baked, it can be on the show.
Nice. So do people?
So yeah, that was good.
Do people think that you brought food to Detroit for that episode, or did they have stuff there already? Like you're helping out Detroit by bringing bread?
Are you? How dare you? How dare you attack my new friends in Detroit? Detroit is a story of revival.
Yes.
They're coming back. Young people are moving in. Everything's being converted. We should be buying property in Detroit right now. You can get cheap land.
I like the summer
time
there.
To do it. All right, I've been hydrating so much on this trip that I have to go to the bathroom, so you have to do a monologue while I'm gone. Ready? Go.
Okay. Well, I was in Monterey, California, and I did a show for a group of firefighters and a bunch of other local people, and at a nice restaurant, and there was a guy at the end of the table. As Tom knows, I do talk about getting a tattoo during our show, and the guy at the end of the table had a tattoo of a soccer ball.
Loaf of bread. Oh.
He turned his head into a soccer ball.
His whole head?
Yeah, as in like... you know those, what is it, a 7-side or 8-side? What are those squares on a soccer ball? He had his head sectioned out. So he had the black sections were where his hair was, and then there were also lines, and the lines were a permanent tattoo. And And he also had a tattoo of a website. It said www.rollersoccerusa.com.
Roller soccer.
So, even weirder than having
like
a website
party
on the back of your neck was, all right, what is roller soccer? And I'm not making this up. This guy is he's the chairman of the United States Roller Soccer League. It is a sport where you wear rollerblades and you play soccer at the same time. I swear to God.
I have to say, I'm kind of interested.
So it's basically like you basically play it on a dry hockey rink. So the goals are like a little smaller, But it just looks like the worst thing you could do on skates is to try to kick a ball going full speed.
And this guy believes in it so much that he tattooed this emerging sport onto his head.
Exactly. And he promotes it.
Wow.
At every... I think he was on some big person's Instagram not too long ago, but he is spreading the word on this. He's fully invested that this is going to be the next big thing.
I have to say, you just describing it makes me kind of excites me a little bit.
Well, it kind of reminds me of, I don't know if you remember, I forget what they called it when they had a basketball league where the entire court was a trampoline. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that.
It was on like Saturday nights, and it
did not catch on.
It died here, but when I flew to Asia last year, apparently there still is a, I think it's called Slam Ball. And so they still have a Slam Ball is on television in Asia somewhere. It's still going. So you just have to find that weird place, you know, like how what'd you say, Argentina, like the marriage ref is like the number one show, like you just have to find that place.
I think I saw a girl, I was in Cleveland sitting on a bench, and this woman came flying down on her rollerblades, mm-hmm. through traffic, like jumping the curb, over a fire hydrant, twirling into traffic, going backwards, hair flowing like 100 miles an hour, the most graceful thing he ever saw. And I was like, ow, I guess rollerblades are kind of out, but if you're still in it, you're probably really good at it.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe that's what the soccer thing is.
Well, it's like skateboarding, too. Well, that's the first thing I asked him. I was like, are you using rollerblades or like the old school 8-wheel skates, like the like you used to have it at the skating rink? And he's like, no, it's rollerblades. So,
wow, that is pretty cool. I would, I have to say, I'm going to support this guy. Is there a team in LA?
I'm not sure. I think he was a San Francisco guy, but he's following me on, because he posted, he took a picture with his head, because that's what I wanted to get the tattoo on record. but he's all in, man. If you got the website on the back of your neck, like that's when you know Tom Papa's fully in, when TomPapa.com is on the back of your neck permanently.
Oh, man. Rob Zombie, you know, buddies with Rob, of course, and every day someone is sending him a picture of another tattoo from one of his movies or from his bands or his albums.
Right.
People have Rob Zombie tattooed all over their body.
That's crazy.
I've never seen a Tom Papa tattoo. The whole reason I want to start posting pictures of my gnome tattoo is just to see if someone else will get it.
Yeah. That's what you should have said to Rogan. Because he went crazy with the tattoos. Those were the two things I was going to tell you to ask him about. That and his, because he, remember you always, whenever you talked about like getting like the hair transplant or like a wig or something like that. Because he got 3 hair transplants. That's what that scar is on the back of his head.
Oh, really?
You didn't know that?
And now he's bald. I had a dream the other night that I shaved my head. Like, not totally bald, but like, you know, like a buzz cut.
Yeah, that's what I got my summer cut. I don't know if you've seen it. I basically like shaved it down to like a 1.
But I haven't seen it, but I haven't been watching TMZ this week.
So that's what I went with my summer cut, and then I forget who there was something about like somebody who had a hair transplant or something. And then Rogan's clip came up, and it was him talking about it. Because like what they do is they take like this big strip from the back of your head. So they actually they used to do it. I think they have better ways of doing it now. But like back in the day when he was on like news radio or something, He got it done.
It was like sod, like a piece of turf they would take off your neck and then farm out all the little follicles from that skin and then cinch up what was remaining. They would bring those two pieces together and sew it.
Yeah.
On your head.
Which seems crazy to me.
It does sound crazy. I was thinking about it when I was younger, and then someone on a TV show, they showed the whole operation, and I was like, oh, I don't think so.
Yeah, that, well, that's, you know, he had that scar, because now they do it where I think they just do, like, individual pokes, like, in your head, but,
yeah.
But it just looks, because I think it was like a Vice did a story about how people, speaking of that dentist stuff, people go overseas to get stuff like that done because everything here is so expensive. So like, if right. you needed two root canals done, you fly to Japan or something like that. If it was going to cost yeah. you $3,000 here, the flight there is $1,000. You get it done for $300 or something, and then you're on vacation too. So they're called medical vacations.
Vacation. That's a great idea. So where do you go for the hair transplants now?
There was like some kid online that like flew. He went to one of those Asian countries to do it because I guess I don't know. Maybe it's like $10,000 here, and it's probably like $5,000 there or something. So he was kind of doing it that way. But just the. I forget. There's some other.
I had a friend that did it from New York and would go to Texas.
It was
a lot cheaper.
Well, the guy who talks about it is that Tom Cotter. Is that the guy you're talking about?
That's not who I'm talking about. But yeah, I know Tom Cotter.
Because I think he got it done, and he used to tell the story about how like after you get it done, you have to keep like putting all this. Stuff so you don't get an infection on your head. You have to keep, like, spraying it with saline and all this stuff. It just sounded horrible.
Yeah. So why did Joe go bald?
Well, I think he got three different ones done because he said when he was, like, on the sitcom, he was freaking out because, you know, like the same thing you said.
Yeah,
like, there's no bald guys on sitcom. So it's like... So I think
it's one thing if you're hired as the bald guy, but to be hired and then that's kind of what I'm worried about with even the shaving my head. It's like, well, now I have the Food Network show. You don't want to just become like the bald guy for the next bunch of episodes. You just want to whatever look you're hired with is what you want to kind of maintain.
Yeah, because you know what was funny is I'm almost going back on. Oh, weren't we talking about this, too, that I'm almost going back on the glasses thing? Like, I'm pretty
gonna,
close.
You're going to get LASIK?
No, just, like, not wearing them on stage again anymore.
Why? Just as a look?
I think it was, like, I don't know. I just, sometimes I feel like, because your lenses are a lot bigger than mine. Like, you can see your eyes and everything on, but it seems like whenever I'm on TV or whenever I see, like, a tape of me, it always looks like there's, like, a shadow and... You know, if I watch my old TV clips, it's like my eyes are pretty important to, like, most of the stuff just because I don't jump around so much. So it's like I started thinking about it. And then somebody else was telling me how much better I look without glasses. So that always gets in your head.
Oh, what was her name?
That gets in your head.
What was her name?
That shirt looks amazing on you, Tom. Who cares if it's
what was her name?
Polka dot. Her name was, I was trying to think of that actress's name, the one from Australia, but I couldn't place it.
You know, if a dude tells you that, then no.
Then no?
You're not. Yeah, then you don't care. But if a woman tells you that you look better without your glasses, yeah, you're not wearing them again.
Yeah, it was just somebody at a club that I hadn't. I think it was maybe the Ice House or something. Somebody up there was like, "Oh yeah, I remember when you used to not. How long have you worn glasses?" I was like, "Oh, it's been a while." And she's like, "Oh, you know, I like you without them too." And I was like, "Oh," and then I started. It gets in your head, and you're like, "Huh, maybe," because there is a thing where, like, I think I only have the one pair of these, and I think I almost. Yeah, it was because I didn't. I left them at home one night, and then I just did the show, and I was kind of like, not freaked out, but it was like, you know, what am I going to do? It's like, oh, yeah, you can do a show without glasses. It's not that big a deal.
You don't have to see with them. What about LASIK? It's not my, you're going to get LASIK.
Not my insulin. Well, that's the thing. I don't really need them unless I get like another teleprompter job where I have to like read, because then I'll look like I'm squinting if I read off a teleprompter. But
I thought we were going to get lasers on our eyes.
Well, you can't get it done, right? Aren't your eyes too bumpy or something?
You've got bumpy eye syndrome.
I don't think I want to get anything done again after all this dental stuff.
Yeah, I could see that.
But so what's going on tonight? Are you reading or are you doing a show? Or what's the... what do you have
to do?
I'm
going to do a show, but I'll have my book with me and I'll read a couple things from it throughout the show.
Okay.
And then at the end, people who bought books, I signed them.
Nice.
And I think we have a lot of people coming, which should be good.
That's cool. And you know that...
And then we go to Phoenix. Then we've got Friday and Saturday in Phoenix.
Nice. And you know...
the same thing.
Do you know how...
with Paul.
...important you are with Conan? Is that I think they weren't even taping this week, and they are doing a special episode just for you.
Oh, me and Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah, his ex-girlfriend.
What?
Conan dated her.
He did?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. That was like, she was the big deal when they were dating, and then he's the one who got his own show after that.
Oh, I didn't know that. And my daughter turns 16 tomorrow.
No way. That's crazy.
Yep. Last time I was there, what was the anniversary last time I was there? Last time I was there...
Your daughter was born, I think, right? Or, what was it?
Yeah, but that would have been her birthday, though. What was it?
I'm trying to think.
No, it wasn't. Because it was only like... was it the anniversary of the first time I had done Conan?
Maybe, yeah, maybe it was something like that. Like the first time... the first time you were doing the show. Yeah, I can't remember. I'm blanking now, but I remember you talking about it. So is she coming to the? Is she going to the show tomorrow?
Yeah, she's coming tomorrow with her friend.
Cool.
So I'll have to give her a shout out. But yesterday when I did Colbert was the 25th anniversary of me ever doing stand-up comedy.
Oh, nice.
June 12th, 1993.
Man.
And, so I celebrated the 25th anniversary by doing Colbert and promoting the book.
How
crazy.
Yeah, that my first TV appearance was June 23rd, 2006.
Wow.
And... yeah, it seems I think that's my first paid gig. It's like June. Yeah, a lot of stuff happens in June for some reason.
Yeah, I wonder why. Dads and grads. What are you gonna get your father? What are you gonna get your father for Father's Day? Because he's in another state. Do you send him something? It's not like you can send him flowers like Mom.
Yeah, well, I listened to you. You told me not to get anybody anything.
Not anybody, your father.
No, I may try to. I have one more week before I go overseas, and I may try to go see them before I go. But just so happens that also in the Tampa area that weekend are the men known as the New York Yankees.
Oh, man. I haven't been to a game yet.
I know, I haven't either.
When all this is over. It's going to be late season. It'll be August, September for me because everything's going to be crazy up till then.
You got to get George Shapiro seats because the Dodgers stink. Ooh, I know. So we can just go there and so stuff you're not gonna, our faces.
So,
you just,
so on Father's Day, you're not going to do anything for your father, though?
I usually call him. I send him something. Yeah. But yeah, it's not as big as, are you suggesting I give him your book? Or
wow, I wasn't saying that, but it sounds like a good idea. It's a great Father's Day gift. Yeah, I don't feel like, I think I'm just going to call my father this year. I don't really send something.
Well, it seems like you're, at least from the Marin interview, like, that everyone's trying to get you to get on your motorcycle and kill yourself.
I mean, that's the thing. If you're with him, if you're around your dad, you'll hang with him, have a drink with him, give him a bottle of scotch or something like that. But if you're in another state, you're not sending your dad flowers. Like, I have the florist on lockdown. I could just call them. They know exactly who I am. They send it right over to my mother. Done. Mother's Day, birthdays, Easter. But dad, no. No. Right?
No florist. Send him a pizza. Dad.
Maybe that's a funny idea. Just send him a pizza. Just call the local pizza place and send him a pie. We didn't ask for this. We already had dinner. It's your Father's Day pizza.
Yeah, send him the lampshade and the pizza.
That's a good one. I'm going to, we'll be flying home on Father's Day morning from Phoenix.
Yeah, I got to hustle back. I got a show back here that night because we still didn't know. Well, you have a crazy, don't you have like Salt Lake City next week and a bunch of other stuff?
Yeah, I go to Salt Lake City and Washington, D.C., but I'm home Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, which is the longest stretch I've been home in a month. Yeah, it's so crazy.
Yeah, that is
so crazy.
That is nuts.
If everybody would just buy my book, I wouldn't have to run around so much. If you want me to see my family, really should just buy my book.
That's what you used to say on Conan. Just say, hey, yeah. I'm not saying that you're going to love it, but just buy the book so I don't have to leave my family and bring your daughter out and say, look at this face.
It's bothering me that I can't remember what the anniversary was for Conan. It bothers me. It was something with my daughter. It couldn't have been her birthday. That wasn't a year ago. Was it?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I wouldn't have been there on her birthday again. That doesn't make sense. A year ago?
So
I feel like it was pretty recent.
But how was Colbert, though? Because you've already done it once doing stand-up, right? Was it more fun just going on to talk? Or do you like being warmed up?
It was fun. I normally like doing stand-up on the show more than I do just sitting there. But it was good. It was like the end of the show, and he was happy to let me just go.
Yeah.
He was happy. You know, I was like, I'm not going to make this really an interview. I'm just going to go. I'm going to use my time and just go. And he was psyched to do it. I made him laugh a bunch, and it was fun. It was actually, in a way, not more fun than stand-up, but it was definitely enjoyable.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't walk off thinking, oh, I should have just done stand-up.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't get to mention the bread show, which was kind of a bummer. I wanted to mention the bread show, but we ran out of time.
Well, that's why I wasn't sure if you were just focusing on the book, because, I mean, that's good, obviously, because it was just like promoting the book, but
yeah, that's why the appearance was purely about the book.
Right.
But then I was like, if I can sneak in the bread show, I will. But I'll wait and do that coming up in September.
Yeah. I mean, you could mention it on a Conan or something like that. Just say.
Yeah, I'm going to mention it everywhere I go, but we just ran out of time last night.
Just say something about now I'm going to stuff my face. Or I have been stuffing my face.
Whenever I do those shows, I just get excited for what I'm going to get to, what treat I get when it's all over.
Yeah.
Normally I would go for nachos after a big thing, which is what I'm doing tomorrow for my daughter's birthday. We're going to go to Casa Vega and eat a big thing of nachos.
Nice.
That's always good. I always like to know, whenever you have something that's a little stressful, you got to know what your reward's going to be at the end. Yesterday at Colbert, we went to, made a reservation at Patsy's, which is this great Italian restaurant in 56, where Sinatra used to go.
Oh, okay.
And that place was good. So, like, the whole time I'm at Colbert, all I'm thinking about is spaghetti and meatballs. And red wine. I just want red wine. That's all I kept thinking. I just want wine.
But what was the, was that the guy from The Wire that was on the show with you? Did you meet him?
Yeah. I met him very briefly, just going upstairs. Very briefly. He's a great actor, though.
Yeah, he was, his first job was a dancer for Janet Jackson in the Rhythm Nation tour.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, he came from a dancing background, I guess.
Wow.
But he's awesome on
very cool.
Boardwalk Empire, too, but The Wire, of course.
Yeah, my parents knew him from Boardwalk. They said he was great. I never really got into Boardwalk Empire. I watched the first part of the first season, and then I never just caught on. But everyone loved that show, and I thought I would love that show, but I don't know why. I didn't get to do it.
Yeah, you just have to get in the mode of watching it. Like, you know how you kind of get in that world? That's why binge watching is so, like, such a thing now. Because remember all those times where you saw a show and you're like, oh, I wish there was another one. And now there is. Like, you know, even a movie, like, every movie has a sequel now. So you can watch the next movie, you know? So it's like,
yeah,
you know, imagine you're a kid and you see the Harry Potter for the first time, and then there's like eight more of those movies. You must be like super psyched.
Would you go see the Harry Potter Broadway play? There's two of them, and you pay for two separate Broadway plays and watch them back to back.
You lost me at Broadway. I don't even think I've seen it. It's pretty ridiculous now. They have almost, isn't there a Mean Girls show now? And it seems like Broadway has gone to where it's like anything that's popular, they try to make a show, like the Spider-Man.
Mean Girl. I don't know why. I don't know how you could say that. Don't you think they would have made a SpongeBob musical anyway?
Yeah.
SpongeBob, Shrek, Mean Girls.
The Spider-Man was the big failure, though. Remember that? Like, every time they did a test show, the contraption that...
Yeah, the spider...
held him up. The
spider kept falling.
He got stuck above the crowd for, like, an hour.
Yeah, the spider kept falling, getting hurt.
Yeah, you know...
I think they made a mistake and didn't cast a real Spider-Man.
He's busy.
If he had a real Spider-Man, he would have stuck to the walls. Didn't you two do the music?
Yeah, that was the big selling point.
Yeah.
And even Springsteen's on Broadway. I thought you were going to do that.
I am going to do that. I'm going to find a way. It's so expensive. So damn expensive. But at least that's original work. It's not like a kid's cartoon.
Yeah, but I think it just...
getting all SpongeBob-y.
It just points to, like, you know, if something's good, you can make money. But, yeah, I don't know if the...
Would you pay to see Seinfeld the musical?
No, but I mean, a guy like him, if he wanted to do, what, a 3-month run on Broadway, you don't think that would make a boatload, I'm sure?
Oh, yeah, he kind of does it with the Beacon shows.
Right, right. Yeah, that's what we've got to... get Tom Papa on Broadway.
Your Dad Stole My Rake, the musical.
Boom, the musical. That's what I want to see.
all on rollerblades.
I did watch, there's a show on Netflix now called The Staircase. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
It was like a famous thing on IFC maybe like 15 years ago. You never heard about this guy in it's like North Carolina. His wife died falling down the stairs, apparently.
Oh, yeah. He did it to like two or three different women, right?
And then, yeah, they found out like 20 years earlier that it happened to a woman in Germany that he was like neighbors with or something. And
right.
And so, yeah, it kind of was the beginning of like Making of a Murderer and all that stuff, like kind of chronicle episodes of trials and stuff like that. And so they did an update, and there's like four new episodes because all this stuff ended up happening with the case like in the last two or three years. So it was like another 6 hours of my life because you get locked into those stupid worlds. I don't know why.
Right.
I really don't care about courtrooms or anything like that much, but for some reason you just have to see how it ends.
Right, of course. But I think if I was to watch any show at this point, it would be anything with Sandra Bullock.
Why? Oceans? 8?
Is she in Oceans? Ooh.
She has to be, right? Isn't
she? Yes. I'm going to put her in Your Dad Stole My Rake, the musical.
I just wonder why Billy Ocean isn't in Ocean's 8 or any of the other Ocean movies. I'm sure his agent is like, come on, it's right there. All you got to do is put one of his songs.
Can you hear this vacuuming?
No, your connection's really staticky though, so I don't know how loud it would be on the other end.
Oh my god. I don't know why. The same way when I go out to airplanes, people with bare feet and bags of McDonald's sitting on my face. When I go to a hotel, they decide that they're going to clean every inch of the hallway and do major construction on the ceilings of the walls next to me. Everywhere I go. I don't understand it. Why all this upkeep in these damn hotels? Right now there's someone, I think there's someone doing construction and vacuuming at the same time.
Yeah, that's... It is like out of... I wonder if you could do like a Fawlty Towers from the customer's perspective. Like,
that's funny. Flip it.
Yeah. Because, you know, he was like a guy who had the perfect life if he didn't have any customers. So,
yeah.
Just being a hotel and like everything that could go wrong does go wrong. Or even the other way when they keep calling your room and bugging you like, hey, how's everything? And then you get a knock at the door and you're like, here's some chocolates. And it's like, I'm just trying to sleep. I don't want to.
Just leave me alone.
I don't want dessert.
Funny.
Yeah, that's it.
Right, man. Well, I'm glad we were able to sneak this in.
Yeah. Well, get some rest, man. I mean, you made it through the flight part. I mean, tomorrow will be a quick flight.
There's
right?
no rest. When am I getting rest?
Tonight.
How am I going to rest? Tonight.
What time are you flying?
I'm doing a book event in Portland.
Well, I know, but after that.
I got to do a show and then sign books.
Yeah, but you don't have to take a red eye anywhere. You're on an easy street.
But
you should go to that place for that chicken again. Find out where that is.
Oh, that's downtown. I'm on the other side. I'm closer to the club. Yeah. That was good chicken, though.
I got to remember that place.
No, I'm only going places where I can walk.
So it's all food trucks and strip joints. It's not bad.
Just like every week on the road. All right, everybody. Thank you. Buy the book for Father's Day. Go on Amazon. Write nice reviews. You guys are the best. Patreon subscribers, your podcast is coming soon. Enjoy your life.